Lions and tigers and bears, oh my. It's the chant that Dorothy and the Tin Man and the Scarecrow say in The Wizard of Oz as they head down the yellow brick road and into the dark forest on their mission. We all know that they don't find any of those things, just one cowardly lion. It might have been fitting chant for the 70, however, that Jesus sends out in our gospel today, only theirs might sound a little bit more like lions and tigers and bears and wolves and snakes and scorpions and mean people. Oh my. Only the 70 probably didn't find any of those except the mean people. Still, we all have fears of the unknown, what's out there in the dark forest. We all fear something that's vicious out there that could snare us or snatch us up or bite us or swallow us up in one bite, or at least slam the door in our face. In this zoo of a world, there are dangerous animals all around. Most of them, however, are two-legged. A lot of you know that my family and I moved here from a tiny town in Tennessee on the Cumberland Plateau. We lived there for 4 years, and it wasn't until we were about to leave, thank goodness, that I found out that only 90 miles from our house was the birthplace of the snake handling movement. Snake handling, you say? What is that? Well, it's something that some people do as part of a church service. Aren't you glad we don't do that here? I'm probably the most glad that we don't do that here. It was started by a guy named George Hensley, and he believed that snake handling was evidence of salvation. He said if believers truly had the Holy Spirit in them, that they should be able to handle rattlesnakes and any number of venomous serpents. I see some people going, what? Well, he got the idea from some passages that are in the Bible, including our gospel today. He saw snake handling as a test or demonstration of faith. It's not really a surprise that Henley died from the bite of a rattler that was tired of being handled in church. That's true. Bless his heart. Mr. Hensley got it all wrong because Jesus wasn't trying to tell us to handle snakes or to prove our power over evil. Jesus wasn't even meaning snakes as literal snakes, but as a metaphor for the dangerous evil that's out in the world. The 70 people he sent out returned, and they were all excited. And they said, Lord, in your name, even the demons submit to us. But Jesus said to them, I watched Satan fall from heaven like a flash of lightning. See, I have given you authority to tread on snakes and scorpions and all over the power of the enemy, aka the bad stuff in the world, and nothing will hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice at this, that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. The real power, Jesus says, is in salvation. Salvation, a grace that happens to us through no doing of our own. Not all the money in the world could buy, not all the good deeds could procure. It's free, it's a gift, it's from Jesus. Say thank you. And it's not meant as a power to prove anything, but proof to us that God is all we need. It's perfectly understandable then that Jesus sends out this big batch of disciples, these 70 people, with no money, no provisions, no extra clothes, no shoes, for goodness sake, no cell phone charger. He sends them out with nothing. And he says, see, I am sending you out like lambs into the midst of wolves. Now, I don't think that this was a scare tactic. I don't at all think Jesus was saying, you're going to get eaten alive. No, I think it was Jesus' way of saying, when the wild animals start circling and misbehaving, be as nice and sweet as a little lamb. When people reject you, give them a smile. When they go low, you go high. That'll show them, that crafty Jesus. Always turning the idea of power upside down. Power for Jesus is not dominating all the other animals and being the strongest or the fastest. It's being a lamb. It's being the nice one, the meek one, the one who lets all the other ones go first and fast. That's what Jesus was trying to teach this new batch of disciples, that courage is vulnerability. Nonviolence in the face of rejection and mistreatment. Travel light and expect hospitality. But if you don't find it, shake off the dust from your feet and keep on trucking. There's no need for you to turn into a wolf. You can just use the power that God gives you through your salvation, the power of peace, the power of love. Now, these things are not like bullets or guns or even sharp teeth, but they are powerful enough to change the ways of a whole zoo of snarling beasts. Everything about what Jesus teaches us about being apostles subverts the system of power and privilege in the world. It turns everything upside down. Yet we continue to try to use power to keep others down, to get our way, to win at life. We believe ourselves to be the ones that power comes from. And as human animals, we are the worst at being cruel. We are the most dangerous of animals. But Jesus says that we are to be like lambs among the wolves. Not that literal wolves in the world are evil, in the wild are evil. Neither are snakes or scorpions, although they freak a lot of people out, including me. No, we are to be the nice guys, the peace makers, the calm presence in the room, the smile in the crowd, the gal who lets you merge in traffic, the random acts of kindness, the intentional acts of kindness, the humane in human, the healers, the example of the saints, the hands and feet of Christ. Being an apostle or a disciple of Christ is not just knocking on doors and asking people if they would like to accept Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior. Nor is it just being a nice person. Nor is it just coming to church. It is rejoicing in our salvation, our liberation, our new lives of freedom in a loving God. That joy is then to be given, not just held onto, but it's to be given and lived and used and spread and washed into this world. It's not just turning the other cheek, but loving the jerk that just slapped you. It is being what we are called to be. And that is children of God that do not take the hate bait that the world offers us. It's not having to prove that God is real by handling snakes. It's showing the world that God is real by how we react in love. It is being in the dark forest, but knowing that we're not alone. That is the power of salvation. It is not like a mighty lion or a nimble tiger or a fierce bear or even a venomous snake. But it is powerful, life-altering, mind-blowing, reality-bending, long, deep breath of peace. And it is the power that can change the scariest of animals into gentle lambs.